Good evening, everyone. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ finding victory over alcohol and depression, and my name is Jeff. Hello. So tonight we are going to go through Principle 8, Step 12 of the Celebrate Recovery Program. In your bulletins, you'll see that this is the give lesson. So let's start by reading the principle and the step together, as you'll find in your bulletin, or up there. So Principle 8, yield myself to God to be used to bring this goodness to others, both by my example and by my words. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. And then step 12, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Galatians 6:1. So a crucial part of the 12th step is sharing the experience, strength, and hope gained in recovery with others who are still struggling. This involves reaching out to newcomers, acting as a sponsor or an accountability partner, and actively participating in fellowship, like we do here at Celebrate Recovery. The idea is that by helping others, we reinforce our own recovery and then deepen our understanding of the preceding principles that we've already worked through. This is often referred to as 12-step work or carrying the message in various recovery circles like AA. So Principle 8 is focused on putting faith into action. God's Word tells us in James 2:17 that faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Active faith is important to God. To clarify, works are not going to save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can do that. However, it is through our actions that we demonstrate to God and to others the commitment we have to our faith in Jesus Christ and our desire to think, love, and live like him and reproduce that in the lives of others, which just happens to be the mission statement of this very church. So what is giving back all about? What does it truly mean to give? Especially in the context of our recovery. Principle 8 does not tell us to give in unhealthy ways, ways that would hurt us or cause us to relapse in codependent behaviors. No, Principle 8 is talking about healthy, non-codependent giving of oneself without the slightest trace of expecting anything back for yourself in return. We'll touch on this important distinction a little bit later on the teaching. The other truth of this lesson is that our giving should be rooted in what we have received from God. So Matthew 10:8 sums up Principle 8 thusly, freely you have received, freely give. It is in Principle 8 that we learn what it truly means to give by being a reflection of what we have received from Christ. Receiving well so that we can give well. Unfortunately, receiving well is often underrated. Think about it. When was the last time at a Christmas gift exchange you saw someone receive a gift and you were like, that person knows how to receive a gift. They did that so well, right? It doesn't really happen. But we often see the converse of that, right? Where, say, you see you're at a kid's birthday party and they get a pair of socks and they were expecting a PS5, right? Some different reactions there. But God offers us the best gift of all, which is salvation and a restored relationship with him. Sometimes I can find myself losing sight of that precious gift. I certainly did in the chaos of my addiction, and if I'm being completely honest, sometimes I even do so in the light of current hardships. However, when we don't receive well by living a life without gratitude for all that he has done for us, we can't give well. That is probably why giving back comes as the last step in our recovery. We need to first receive Christ's gift of salvation so that he can work through us and our stories can reach others. That said, let's dive into the give acrostic for this lesson. So the first letter, G, stands for God first. When you place God first in your life, you realize that everything you have is a gift from him. You realize that your recovery is not dependent or based on material things. It's built upon your faith and your desire to follow Jesus' direction and work to live by his example. So Romans 8:32 says that God did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? We are never more like God than when we give. Not just money or things, but of our very selves. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave us the greatest gift of all, himself. Don't get me wrong, there's something powerful and important about tithing and giving financially to the church, but that's not what we're talking about here tonight. God has called us to give every part of ourselves first, or as the Bible sometimes calls it, the first fruits. This means we need to give God our best time, our full focus, our absolute attention, our whole heart, etc., not just what we have left for him at the end of the day. He wants the best parts of us, given that he died for the worst parts of us. This is not always easy to do. I know I struggle with it. But let's take a look back at what we've already given over in our previous steps. So step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to God. So we started giving things up to God. Step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our hurts, hang-ups, and habits. So giving up all of our baggage. Step seven, we humbly asked him to remove all of our shortcomings, giving God permission to change and shape us. Step 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So this is giving of our time and our energy to be in a relationship with the God of the universe. And it's in this step 11 that we need to keep returning in order to work step 12. So by giving to God first, for me, that looks like in the mornings, before I get out of bed, I pray. And then the next thing that happens is I turn on the worship music. And then before I start work, I do a devotional. And like Dirk was saying, the message that was given here this week at Rolling Hills was about worship and worship music, and about the root of why we sing and do praise songs. And so if you didn't catch that message, I highly recommend you check it out on YouTube. But I know a lot of scripture that I know that I don't know because of Christian music. Because I'll hear a lyric and I'll be like, oh, okay. And then I'll see it in scripture and be like, oh, it came from that song. But really, it came from the Bible and I heard it in the, you know. So it's a great way to just immerse yourself and marinate in God's word. So again, find what works best for you, but make time with God a priority. So next, for those of us that can't spell, the second letter in give is O. When we give, the I becomes we, which is the fill-in for the acrostic. So have you noticed that some of the steps and the principles, have you noticed that none of the steps or principles begin with the word I? The very first word in step one is we. The word I doesn't even appear once in any of the 12 steps, not even in the narcissist version. The point is that the road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. This is not a program to be worked in isolation. We must all fight against isolation and loneliness. Being here tonight is a great step in that fight. Isolation sets us up to be prey, but there's safety in numbers. 1 Peter 5:8 reads, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. God is our good shepherd. He protects his flock. Don't let yourselves become a lone lamb for the slaughter. At the very least, you can surround yourself with a few slower people that can be taken down easily so that you can escape. But in all seriousness, Jesus has called us to a very high bar regarding how we should treat our fellow sheep. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' message here takes the focus off of ourselves and places it first on God and then secondly on other people, the I becoming we. It's crucial to note that there is a fine line between codependency and Christian living. The deciding factor depends on who you're trying to please or who you're putting at the throne of your actions. If your efforts are to please God in a selfless way that reflects his love for us, then that aligns with Christian living. If the true root of your actions are for the benefit of yourself or seeking the favor of someone else, then you may need to tread more cautiously and rethink your heart posture. The point here is that Jesus wants us to be in a selfless loving community or flock with the world around us. One formal way of becoming a part of a recovery flock is to find a sponsor or an accountability partner. The rewards are many, and being a sponsor or an accountability partner is one great way to give back and to carry the message. You may wonder how you can find an accountability partner or sponsor. You're welcome to target anyone here with a lanyard to be a sponsor. For an accountability partner, you can look around. Anyone here is fair game. All right? If you're looking for... I found that coming back to here to CR helps keep me accountable to my recovery and has connected me with a support system that was completely lacking in my life. I have never met a more real and authentic group of people than those sitting around a small circle group sharing hurts, hangups, and habits. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 makes this concept of giving through we-ness, I have to be careful with that one, very clear. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So I have a piece of paracord here. I hope most people are familiar with this. So this is paracord 550. It has a static weight of 550 pounds that this little string can hold. Okay, but inside of paracord, it's made up of several other, normally seven strands of cord. And so the strength of this cord comes from the individual cords that are within it. And that's just what this verse is saying, that we're stronger together when we're unified. So the bottom line is that we are stronger together in our recovery with the help of God. Moving on to the third letter, which stands for victories shared. God never wastes a hurt. I used to struggle with this saying, especially in the midst of my own hurt. I thought, how will good ever come of this? If I'm honest, that thought still creeps into my mind sometimes. What I'm having to learn is that God often gives us difficult times and circumstances to get our attention, to discipline us, and bring us back to Him. When we persevere through a trial, it also gives God an opportunity to bring hope to others through our stories. Romans 5:3-5 reads, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." Principle 8 gives us the opportunity to share our experiences and victories and hopes with one another to strengthen our flock and to help with our own healing. The formula for giving your story is pretty simple. You can share, this is how it was for me. This is what I experienced. This is how I gained strength to begin my recovery. And there's hope for you. That's why we spend every other week here at CR with a testimony, because this formula actually works. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 encourages us to give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. Principle 8 is why I'm standing here tonight. I still cannot make sense of my story, the pain or the damage, but I can share it. God has the greater perspective of how my life might serve His kingdom. I'm nearly 3 years sober, and I want to share that victory in order to glorify God and hopefully spur someone else on to achieve their own sobriety. So I'm hoping this message resonates with greater than 0% of you here tonight. When you share your victories, no matter how small, you encourage others. We all need to tell other people what God has done in our lives. When you share your story, people can find a part of themselves in your testimony and thereby find encouragement and hope for their own struggles. Remember, you're not bragging on you, you're bragging on God through your shared victory. This leads us to the last letter in give. E stands for example of your actions. We know that actions speak louder than words, and that good intentions are meaningless unless acted upon. 1 John 3:18 says, "My children, love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action." Stated plainly, love without actions is pointless, and actions without love is similarly empty. I think 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 sums this thought up nicely. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Giving and serving is a thermometer of your love. It gauges the posture of your heart. It is possible to give without loving. That's what we do sometimes in codependent relationships. Or we may give because we feel we have to. You can give without loving, but you can't give. But you can't love without giving. I'll say that again. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Said differently, to truly love someone well, we need to offer more than just empty words. In James 1:22, we are called to be doers of the word. We are called to bring the good news to others. Some of you might be wondering what exactly the good news is. In essence, the good news is the message that God has acted definitively through Jesus Christ to save humanity from the consequences of our sin and to offer us a restored relationship with him, along with the promise of eternal life. It's a message of hope, forgiveness, and new beginnings. To quote the Mercy Me song, it's not just good news, it's the best news ever. So when Principle 8 states, "Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words," it means to become a living testimony to the world around us of God's great love for us and the work he does in and through us. He gave first so that we might give back. In summary, the 12th step is about solidifying one's own recovery by giving back and living a life rooted in the positive changes achieved through the CR program and our walk with Jesus. It shifts the focus from solely personal recovery to becoming a source of support and inspiration for others. We are the instruments for delivering the good news. The way we live shows others our commitment to our program, to our recovery, to our Lord, and to them. When you're feeling upset, hurt, or discouraged by things that are out of your control, one thing you do have control over is what you choose to do in response. A few weeks ago, I started to spiral downward back into depression as a result of continued relationship problems that I'm having with my adult child and a particularly hard emotional blow that they had dealt me. As I was riding home in the car, I remembered something that Ron, who isn't here tonight, had shared in small group that his sponsor had shared with him. I chose to refocus my energy on giving back, and I went home and started writing this lesson. It completely changed my heart posture and stopped me from spiraling. The idea of sharing with you all gave my pain purpose. You never know how far your message or your encouragement will go. I'd like to leave you with Luke 8:16 from The Message. "No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a washtub or shoves it under the bed. No, you set it up on a lampstand so those who enter the room can see their way." Like the Sunday school song says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We're not hiding things under bushels. No, we're bringing everything out into the light. One of my favorite quotes that I learned back in high school from an anonymous source is, "Know that you are a lantern that goes in search of light." Just think about that imagery. You have everything you need inside of you, but you need to choose to let your light shine for others to see. Otherwise, you're not fulfilling your true purpose. That's the hope, encouragement, and call to action of this give message. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for the greatest gift. Thank you for our salvation, for our hope, of a restored relationship and eternity with you. God, we just ask that let us be your hands and feet in this world, that we can bring your gift to others. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting here tonight, those that are just in the midst of their recovery, just getting started, or those that are far along in the walk and just need a gentle reminder of you. God, I just bring all these, all the individual prayers for everyone in the room here tonight up to you, and just ask that in your holy name, you help us to continue to give back. Amen.